Welcome to a Skip to the End podcast special. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Mark.
And on this special, we've been lucky enough to secure an interview with the legendary cult director, Uwe Boll. Here he is. So thanks a lot for joining us today, Uwe.
No problem.
So we've got quite a few questions for you. So I'm going to fire off with, what was it that made you start out wanting to become a film director?
I watched a lot of movies when I was a boy, and I never stopped watching movies, basically, but I was really fascinated with it. Yeah, I loved that feeling to sit in the movie theater, and so I told my mother when I was 10, I think, that I want to make movies, and she didn't took it really serious because we had nothing to do with the movie industry. And yeah, but I kept doing it, and I got a VHS and later an SVHS camera. We worked with Video 2000 and Betamax and then Super 8. And then my friend and I, Frank Lustig and I, we did like camera courses, like to learn a 16mm camera, etc., etc. So that is how it all began, basically.
Was there a movie or actor that inspired you to want to then become a film director?
I mean, a lot of times I say it was Mutiny of the Bounty with Marlon Brando what really grabbed me because it was a big adventure on a ship and in the South Sea. And it was just like I loved it. And I felt like at this point, all the adventures you see in the movie are actually real. So it's like if I make movies, I'm in that adventure myself and I just film it.
And as your career's gone on, Uwe, you've gone on to direct quite a few films that are based on computer games. Was there any particular reason why you went down that avenue?
No, it was, my first three American movies, Sanctimony, Blackwoods and Heart of America. The Heart of America was the last one about school violence, Littleton School Massacre and so on. And it didn't have any success. So I got approached by the company Mindfire. They had the rights to House of the Dead from Sega. And they said, look, we have a script. You can direct it. You bring money in. We bring the rights in. We bring the script in. Let's do it. And this is why I did House of the Dead. And then the movie turned into a financial success. And so investors basically came and said, look, we are not giving you any money for your passion projects or for the movies you definitely want to do. We will give you only money if you make more video game based movies. And that is the reason I have that fund going with money and based on video game based movies, and with Alone in the Dark, Blood Rain, Dungeon Siege, Far Cry, Postal, a lot of that kind of properties.
So are you a fan of video games yourself then, or are you not really a big fan?
Basically, I played on the old Atari and Commodore 2000. I played Astoria and Pac-Man and so on. You know, like I was thinking about it, I'm 50 now, so how I grew up with the beginning of the video game industry, basically. You know, we played like table tennis on our normal TV. And if I see now, like the son of my brother, for example, he's 20 and he can play like Call of Duty up and down and to the last bit. Like I'm not a good gamer, let's say it this way. I play some games and I have more fun to play sports games like golf, you know, like stuff like this, or bowling against other people. And I'm not the big ego shooter guy, but when I made movies, I, of course, played the games as far as I could, and then other people played it for me, and so that I can actually study what was going on in Postal and so on.
And through making some of those bigger sort of computer game related films, you've now been able more recently to start making your passion projects that you mentioned. So how's that been for you to actually get to make some of these films that you care more deeply about?
Let's say it this way, that the money dried out 2005 for the video game based movies was in a way a good thing, because otherwise I would maybe made another five. And so in a way it was a good thing that it happened, because I had to focus on myself and how I started. And I'm very political. I'm interested in what's going on in the world. And so I went back to the drawing board, and actually went back also in writing again. And that was actually starting with Postal, even a video game based movie, but I think Postal is so different to all the other video game based movies ever made. It's also a very harsh political satire and so on. So that was the beginning where I started doing more personal things. And then I basically tried to follow with way less money, with way less smaller budgets. The subject matters, I think they matter, like Rampage and Darfur, the genocide in Darfur, or Stoic about the prison system thing, and Auschwitz about the Holocaust. So I did a lot of movies based on facts, basically, or based on reality.
There's a lot of games out there now that have been made into big, big budget films, such as Final Fantasy, Resident Evil. Have you had a chance to watch any of these films?
Of course. I watched a lot of that movies. And a lot of times, like, for example, I liked the first Silent Hill. I hated the second Silent Hill. I liked the first Resident Evil. I don't think I watched all the other Resident Evils. I watched one more or something. And but a lot of times the movies based on video games are not really good.
Yeah.
Including my own movies, you know, like it's like I was on Saturday. We had a discussion here in the Frankfurt Film Museum about there was an exhibition about film and games. And it's really obvious that comic book movies just work better as game-based movies. And now in times like today, the question is also, what should we film? I mean, if you have games like Call of Duty or something, or Halo, you have the movie basically in front of you if you play the game. So they are so high-end now with the graphics and everything. And I don't see a real reason to make video game-based movies anymore. You know, I think it's a tendency where everybody tries to squeeze out a dollar out of it in regards of a franchise that people think, yeah, okay, we have here a situation where we have a famous game, now we make a movie, and then the movie automatically will be a hit. But it's not the case. A lot of times it's not the case. So... And we will see how it all develops. I'm sure there will be still video game-based movies getting made, but most of them are not turning into super hits. The Prince of Persia, for example, I think it was a big failure.
Yeah.
I mean, A, I hated the movie, and B, it doesn't really make real money. I think they, in the end, lost money on it. So because it was so expensive, and they spent so much money for advertising. Yeah, and I think one of the reasons is also that comic book heroes maybe have a better character to start with, or all the comic books basically are built around one person's like story. And in video games, a lot of times you don't even have a person. Like in Dungeon Siege, I don't know what I mean, they had a character bible, but not one of the characters was actually in the game visible. Because it was top view and you know, like stuff like this. I mean, I always tried also when I had a game, I tried to get something where you have a lead character like Blood Rain or Edward Canby in Alone in the Dark, Jack Carver in Far Cry. So I tried to always use or get games where there is actually a character visible in the game.
So you've mentioned there the superhero movies and how they have these inbuilt characters. Have you seen many of the recent superhero movies, and what have your thoughts been on them?
No, I think from turning from a basically, I was a fan of a lot of like the old classics like Star Wars when it came out, and like a lot of that event movies. But then in the last 5-6 years, now we have basically only event movies. And that is just too much. I like Iron Man 1, for example, you know, but then it gets like overdone, and then you have not only Iron Man 2 and 3 or whatever, then you have him in Avengers and you have him everywhere. And every weekend we have another $200 million movie competing with the movie what was the week before. So the events what was in earlier years, you had like one Star Wars a year, or you had like $100 or $200 million movies a year, and now you have like every week $100 to $250 million movie. And I don't know, it's, you know, it's like, for me, it's an invasion of it, and so I don't really like them anymore. Individual, they are not bad movies, Captain America. So they are not bad movies. They're good actors and they're well done. But for example, the first Thor movie came out, I really liked it. But then the second came out and I felt like, I don't know. It would be better if they never made the movie, actually. So I think it's just too much of them.
So do you feel that franchises are killing creativity?
Yeah, absolutely, because the creativity then only works in that specific franchise. And a lot of times you cannot recreate it. You cannot really have that, let's say the new Terminator, for example. You cannot recreate Terminator 2. You know, Terminator 2 was a masterpiece and was maybe one of the best movies in film history. And so it's really tough to keep going with the franchise if you had a total outperformer and also a quality outperformer in a franchise. Same with The Dark Knight in Batman. I mean, that performance from Heath Ledger and that movie was just exceptional good. Exceptional good. And so then to keep going with Batman over and over and with new Batmans and everything, it's just like, it's kind of pissing me off, you know. I don't need it. I found already the Batman then with Tom Hardy was shit, you know. So what a waste of a great actor to play that part. I mean, I felt it was totally stupid. And that is the thing. It's like, but Hollywood is ruled by bankers and attorneys, and they will not stop doing their franchises.
What's your thoughts on them now doing another Batman film, but obviously taking on Superman and Ben Affleck? Are you a fan? Do you think he might give us that good portrayal of Batman again?
Look, it's tough to say. I was in Vancouver, and I met on a restaurant there, a Bauhaus restaurant. And there were like five people eating, all young people. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, we're all working on the CGI. We're working for a CGI company. We're doing right now, we're working on the new Batman. And I said, like, well, how is Batman doing? Like, how is Ben Affleck doing? And then they said, like, really bitter, really depressing. They said, like, he's dark. He's really dark in it, gritty. And but that means nothing. You know, that means not that it's good. It means not that it's bad. But I don't know, you know, Ben Affleck is a good actor, but he's always this kind of clean guy where even if he plays an asshole in Gone Girl, for example, I don't know. I have a little problem with him, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I really don't know in what direction that movie will go. And the main point is I hate Superman, so, you know, I'm not like, say, the Batman against Superman. I mean, I really don't need it.
Do you think it could be the one film that Ben Affleck could do that could change him, a bit like Matthew McConaughey when he came along and did Dallas Buyers Club, and he kind of now does the more serious films, and he doesn't keep doing the same old chick flicks, and a lot of people now respect him, and that's why he did TV recently, obviously, with True Detective. A lot more people now say what a fantastic actor he's become.
Absolutely. And I'm very happy that Matthew McConaughey did that move at one point, and it paid out for him. And True Detectives is, for me, I love the show. And that brings the main problem, like the really good things are almost all in TV now, where you have the better scripts. You can develop things slower. You can lead things up, like if it was Breaking Bad or House of Cards. This kind of shows are exceptional good because you have also the time to put a seed in the ground, and then like 5 hours later, and not 10 minutes later, you can basically that seed is growing. So, and I love that kind of stuff. A lot of times I'm basically at home watching actually TV shows and being fascinated by TV shows. I've watched Silicon Valley, you know, like I watched The Affair. So it's like it's a lot of things are more interesting as movies right now for me.
Would you like to get involved in TV?
That depends what it is, but I don't have a good idea for a whole TV show. I don't know, but of course it would be very interesting. And I think the future right now, independent movies are dying, and what is left is TV and like the $200 million movies. And right now I'm not in one of them, so I've tried to keep doing smaller movies with some political power behind it, like Rampage. It's the reason I hope to do Rampage 3 then still in January to finish that trilogy. But that is the thing. It's like really tough to get something going today.
So you mentioned Rampage 3 there. I believe that was the film that you had the Kickstarter going for. How have you found trying to fund that since the Kickstarter ended?
Yeah, I think what happened is the people misunderstood it. Like, 50,000 on Kickstarter was not make it or break it Rampage 3, because the budget is $1 million. So so we will finance it all with my company now. And Brandon Fletcher has time to shoot it in January. So that is what we will do then. We will shoot it in January.
Of the lower budget independent films that you've worked on in recent years, what are you most proud of?
I mean, I'm proud of a lot of movies, actually. I did for various reasons, like the Darfur movie, because we did the movie about the genocide in Darfur during the massacres happened with real refugees, and we really put the finger in the wound and say, look, we have to stop the genocide. Till today, the Bashar, the president of Sudan, is still the president, and he's a murderer. Then there's an arrest warrant on him, and nothing happens against him. So I think it's a huge scandal, and I'm happy and proud that I did the movie. I'm same with Assault on Wall Street. I felt massively disappointed by the Oliver Stone Wall Street too. I think that was the opposite to what he should did about Wall Street after the 2008 bailouts, and he made a total publicity movie pro bankers, nothing else. And my movie, I think, is way better, really gritty, and it represents the people. They lost everything in the financial crisis, and they actually, in my movies, and even then Dominic Purcell is going after them, and kills the bankers and scares the bankers. And I think that is what was my idea, you know, like to hold them accountable and to scare them with a movie where people think, oh, fuck, hopefully I'm not getting shot, so I should be not a crook anymore. And so I think that's a very important movie. And, of course, Rampage 2, because it's very political, and it summarizes the whole disastrous political landscape we're living in. We don't face the main problems on Earth. We just ignore them. We go through our daily life, and we are not like doing anything about it. We just accept that, for example, the fight against global warming is over. The South and North Pole will just melt, and a lot of territory is getting flooded at one point. We accept that fracking destroys the earth around it and sucks temperature out of the earth and destroys any farming on top. Like whatever it is, you know, like we were really going to the last drop of oil when that is finally gone, and the last like liter of gas is gone, then we recognize, oh, we should switch to electro cars 20 years earlier. So, you know, like whatever we do it wrong. I mean, it's really obvious that we don't have the right politics. The politics are only like thinking about the next election, and they don't make politics for the next generations. They just make politics for the next 4 years, and with this, we're driving into the wall. And whatever subject matter we pick out, the situation is a total disaster. You know, like ocean fish, statistically, if they keep fishing like this in 25 years, there is no ocean fish left. I mean, it's totally absurd, you know, and that is, for example, something that could be solved in not overfishing, in just let the fish recreate themselves and make a year, for example, from time to time, you have to just stop fishing specific fish. Like this year, we don't fish salmon. Next year, we don't fish tuna. Then we don't fish a halibut or whatever. And then so that fish can recreate themselves, but we don't do it. Instead, we fish it all out and then it's all dead. And goodbye. So, and that is the thing. It's like whatever subject matter we use, we make it wrong. And in the politics or in the daily news, all that subject matters are not getting represented because it's not a news. It's not a news like, is Greece now getting out of the euro or whatever. It's like, it's not a daily news, you know? So, and I think it's horrific. And that is why I did a Rampage too.
And do you think that Hollywood is letting the world down by not showing the real political things that are happening in the world?
Yeah, I think Hollywood is like, of course, you will find like, in Hollywood, 80% of the people will be will drive a Prius or a Tesla. And I think in Hollywood, a lot of people, because they have also a lot of money, will totally agree with what I just said. But the people in the power positions, they make the movies, they focus on purpose, of course, on movies they cannot really change the reality right now, or they cannot do something revolutionary right now. You know, to make a movie about what was the movie with Benedict Cumberbatch, the Oscar-nominated movie?
Oh, The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game. I loved the movie. It was very good, and I'm happy that movies like this are getting made. But that is the kind of art house movies they run for the Oscar. Because they are done about stuff what doesn't really matter anymore. And even if it's a very powerful story, and I mean, what an unbelievable story if you think about it. Like, oh, thanks, you won the war for us, and now we castrate you. So that is unbelievable. But all the other movies like Birdman, who doesn't matter at all, you know, like, I don't even know why that movie was nominated for an Oscar. And whatever, Dallas Buyers Club, oh, it's all good movies, but they don't matter. You know, who gives a fuck what happened 4 years ago where they found out, yeah, AIDS is a deadly disease. I mean, we have totally different problems right now. We can attack right now and do something about it right now. Otherwise, we're going under and we will be like the last generation on Earth, but we are not doing it. So, I mean, that is the thing.
With the more small films, like independent films now, fading out, as you said, and the big blockbusters taken over, is it a real relief to see films like Whiplash and obviously Boyhood do so well at the awards and to get such good recognition over the big £300 million films?
No, I know, but that is, in a way, the Oscars, they don't have a box office drive anymore. That is the same, you know, like when I always watch at the Oscars, there's the Jimmy Kimmel show, you know, and Jimmy Kimmel makes always fun about the Oscars too. And then he has the after Oscar show. And he has always people on the road just asking random people on the sidewalk. And the normal average person has no clue what all that movies were. Besides American Sniper, they didn't watch one of that movies. And that was 10, 15 years ago different. If you won an Oscar, people went to see it. And I think in times like today, that kind of thing is not really there anymore. That kind of, Rick won the Oscar, now I have to see it. And you have to see also, like, a lot of the Oscar movies lose a lot of money because they spend so much money in advertising them to that point that they're getting an Oscar.
Going back to your career, Uwe, I think it's fair to say that you've suffered quite a lot of criticism over the years for some of your work. And how have you dealt with that personally?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, I got very depressed and bitter and all kinds of things. But over the years, I mean, it's with everything what happens in your life, you get over it, you know, like you keep going and you cannot the whole time think about the reviewers or whatever. And so it's basically okay at one point. But I still don't take shit, you know, like I don't take crap if somebody criticizes something what is completely bullshit and it's just not the truth. Then I strike back and I'm aggressive, you know, like that when I was in the Frankfurt Film Museum, a game journalist, he said, look, your movies were like the video game based movies. I hated them. I voted for all the movies 2 points on IMDb. And then I asked him, what you voted for Elektra or Daredevil? You know, like what that is the thing, you know, like, or is Dungeon Siege really, you know, if you compare it with Lord of the Rings, of course you don't vote Dungeon Siege better as Lord of the Rings. No, you voted way lower as Lord of the Rings. But what is with the Golden Compass? So and that is the thing also what happened with all of my movies. If you go on a site like IMDb and you see what crap is voted on 5 points or 6 points, what is not 1% better as Blood Rain or Alone in the Dark or House of the Dead, Dungeon Siege, not 1% better. But I got it like, and also if you see actually the votes in regards of my movies, you almost have 50% of the people give it 0 points just for the sake of it that I did it. And that even watch the movies and people even writing it on message boards. I don't even watch a ball movie. No, but going on every single ball movie and voting 0 points. I mean, is that fair? Is that also adequate? No. And also a lot of my movies, for example, if we stay with IMDb, whatever, because I think IMDb has a totally absurd voting form. If you go on a lot of my movies, you will find almost 50% vote 9 or 10 points and 50% vote 1 or 2 points. But the average rating what they give me is then 2.3%. 2.4%. And a lot of times I contacted them. I said, like, I mean, how is that possible? If 500 people say 10 and 500 people say 0, how can I be 2.3? And they said, yeah, because the 500 with the 0 are voters, they vote all the time. They are like people, they vote every fucking movie what comes out. You know, it's totally absurd. And I said, like, yeah, I know, but when that doesn't make, I still don't get it. I mean, if you go to a vote, you cannot say like I vote Labour and the other guys vote Conservative and Conservative counts 3 times more. That is absurd.
Do you think that this is weighted against you? Do you think there's some sort of perhaps vendetta against you in Hollywood?
Of course they did that, and they did it on Rotten Tomatoes also. A lot of on Rotten Tomatoes, a lot of reviews. If you really read the review, they voted as bad review. There were a lot of reviews that were actually at least medium, mediocre, and some also good, and they voted them all as bad because there was one bad line about the movie. But then I gave it up, you know, like I started to discuss stuff with them, but that is the absurdity of the internet also. You have to just, in the beginning, you try to, whatever, you threaten legal action. And blah, blah, blah. But then at one point you just give it up and think like, yeah, you do whatever you want. I don't care. You know, it's like Wikipedia. And Wikipedia are things about me that just, they're not facts. Like I live in Toronto. No, I live in Vancouver and in Mainz. You know, I contacted Wikipedia and said, there are things about me in Wikipedia that are wrong. And they said like, you're not qualified to change that. And I said, yeah, but I'm overboard. You can put me on the phone. I can send you my passport. I said, like, I'm not whatever born then. And like, my date of birth was wrong. It was totally absurd. They were like, really? And they said, we only correct things if a third party, like a guy they know, whatever, a journalist, writes something about you. And I said, that is totally absurd. I said, like, I don't want to change your opinion about me. I don't want to change in Wikipedia things like Uwe Boll is named the worst director of all times. I said, I'm not talking about it. I talk about facts. I don't live in Toronto. I didn't went to that university you wrote. I didn't went, you know, like, it totally said never did it. They never ever put it up. And that, you know, but that is a scary thing, because in the earlier years, I mean, in England you had the Encyclopedia Britannica, in Germany you had the Brockhaus, where you had a real encyclopedia, you know, like where people, scientists, put things up about us and about the world. And now all of that things are not getting updated anymore. They're gone. And now people go on Wikipedia to check out the world. They think what they read on Wikipedia is the truth. And it's not. I mean, I'm only scared, like, if you think about what I know already about myself, how much is wrong. I can only imagine how much is wrong from, like, hundreds, thousands of people. Famous people or people where, like, politics or whatever. It's just wrong. You know, sometimes in a lobbyist way, like, just they make people better as it is, because they had, like, the journalists paid off. They wrote a nice article about them. And sometimes in the other way around. So, and I'm scared that is totally absurd what's going on.
Back to movies. I just wanted to know your opinion on who you think the best actors are in the world right now, but also the worst.
Sure. I mean, that is always not so easy, because it depends also on the movies they play, right? I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is, of course, an exceptional good actor and very picky with doing the opposite of what Nicolas Cage is doing. You know, so Nicolas Cage plays in everything that he gets $2 million for. So, but Nicolas Cage is also not a bad actor. He's a good actor. But he played a lot of movies just for the money, and so did Pacino and De Niro and Bruce Willis. You know, it's like a shame in what shit they're all playing, only because they get $1 million or $2 or $3 million for it. That is the thing. You know, it's not. I think it's not an easy way to answer this. Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's dead, is a great actor. Was a great actor. Michael Caine is a great actor, but all actors basically played in shit, and sometimes but they still always deliver. Mm. You know, I never saw these kind of actors cheesy or really bad. I mean, Kevin Spacey is amazing, but he also needs his parts where he can be amazing in. You know, so.
What about the opposite then? What about the actors that you just think, I don't know how you're working, I don't understand how you're paid to act, you just can't get your head around it, you've got no respect for them?
I mean, there's a lot of the people turn superheroes where I lost respect, because I know they do it just for the money. And but it is what it is, you know. I mean, would Robert Downey Jr., who is an exceptional good actor, I mean, he was so way down in his life, in his career, in jail, and drug addicted, whatever. He digged himself out, and now he is doing Iron Man, Avengers. He makes shitloads of money. Good for him. You know. So, but of course, he gets less believable than if he plays another a serious movie at one point, because he's overused and in that superhero stuff. It's tough to nail it down. You know, Mark Wahlberg did, like, I mean, look at Transformers. Mark Wahlberg was so bad. But I think he also phoned it in based on the shitty director, Michael Bay, and he was not really interested in anything, in doing the movie properly, you know, playing against green screens. So that is the thing. But Mark Wahlberg is also a good actor. He did very good movies. Christian Bale is exceptional good as an actor. But you know, Exodus or whatever was completely crap, and only topped by Noah's Ark with Russell Crowe. What was it? A total embarrassment. I mean, how absurd. I mean, that they never asked themselves shooting that absurd Noah story. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
Not like that never happened, by the way, and it's impossible. And it doesn't make any sense that anybody in the whole planet believes in that bullshit. So let's make a movie proving that it's all bullshit. So, you know, like, that is the thing, but they, of course, wanted the Christian audience there, and it's so absurd. No, but stuff like this, I mean, there are a lot of actors that just, I mean, Tara Reid is still horrific, but she's not really acting anymore, but Megan Fox was always horrific. I hate Anne Hathaway. I mean, there are a lot of actors I cannot stand, but it really depends also on the movie. So if they're the right movie, I would give everybody a new chance.
Is there any actor out there in Hollywood that you particularly want to work with?
I mean, in earlier years, I loved Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis to make a movie with them. But now, it's also not the... They're also way over the hill. You know, it's not like they are on the peak anymore. And so that is the thing. It's really, it's not so easy. And it's also like, let's say you have an actor like Daniel Day-Lewis. I'm aware that he will not play in one of my movies at all. And he needs the right subject matter, what grabs him, and where he has also the opportunity to deliver what he's able to deliver in a movie. And I don't have that budget. You know, when I do Rampage 3, we have to shoot that movie in 12 days. Like, wow. You can tell Daniel Day-Lewis, like, you know what, today we shoot like 15 pages. You better learn your lot. and then he's like, 15 pages is like 15 days. So that is the thing, you know, it's like tough. And I heard so many stories about actors that turned into assholes sometimes, and like Kevin Costner is supposed to be an asshole. I love Dancing with Wolves and stuff like this, but I'm not so eager to work with him based on this. Jim Carrey is supposed to be an asshole to work with. But, you know, like, that is always bad. If I like somebody as an actor, and then I get information about that person that he is an asshole, then then it's kind of destroying your fantasy you had about him.
What's your three favorite films of all time?
Definitely Apocalypse Now is in it. The Godfather, where I see Godfather 1 and 2 just together, they are in it. Clockwork Orange, Dances with Wolves, Goodfellas. In the last few years, I have to say I loved Scorsese DiCaprio in what was the movies they did? Wolf of Wall Street. I loved that movie. I loved There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. So that were like a lot of like my favorites. But there are, of course, 30, 40 movies where I would be very excited about. And the worst of all times is impossible to say, because I'm maybe like you also. I mean, I have Netflix. I watch a lot of movies online. I get a lot of DVDs sent over, and it would be unfair. Because I watched at least 1,000 really shitty, really cheap horror movies and stuff like this. And they were so horrific and amateurish and so on that it's tough to say Transformers. You know, because Transformers, I mean, it looks good, it's high-end CGI, blah, blah, blah. But if you would just say what were the worst movies from the high-end movies you ever watched, so where then a Sharknado would be not in that anymore and only like big, big movies. There, I think, are stuff like, the Wachowski brothers would be definitely in it. I had a big fight in the Frankfurt Film Museum about the Wachowski brothers. I hate Matrix 3. I think it's one of the worst movies of all time.
We agree.
And I think that guys are completely out of their fucking minds. And they're only getting money because of the old fame they have. Otherwise, let's say you have an unknown person comes up with Speed Racer, with Cloud Atlas, with Jupiter Ascending, that people would say, are you crazy? We're not giving you money for it. maximum $10 million, but not like $100 million and everything. I mean, they're getting so much money to make that kind of movies, and that movies lack any kind of storytelling. They're just completely boring, and with great actors and some, but even the CGI is not really competitive anymore with the good CGI in some movies, and but there are also like other movies I have to say, like in the last few years, besides the Transformers disaster, where you watch it and you think like, oh my god, I just watched the airplane, I watched the new Will Smith movie, that heist movie where he is a gangster guy, that is unbelievable, that is a completely disaster, like from A to Z, that whole movie is completely crap. And Hitch, was it Hitch?
Yeah.
No, it's not, the Hitch movie he did was actually good, but not the new one, with that girl who maybe fucked the producer and never played in the movie before or after in the lead part. And I mean, it was really like, I just couldn't believe it. And that kind of deja vus I had a lot of times now when you watch movies where you think like, I cannot believe it that somebody's actually watching it. And there was another one, a sci-fi movie I watched recently, also one of the new releases. And my brother and I watched it on hard drive. And within 5 minutes, we were like fast forward. No, that was the movie... from Michael Mann, was the guy who played Thor, the action movie. No, Black Hat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, also, like, that was unbelievable. I mean, what the fuck? You know, like, totally. I mean, within 5 minutes, we were on fast forward. And we only stopped in the moment somebody got shot. And then, like, the Asian girl in the beginning, I said, he totally fucks the Asian girl, 100%. She's only in the movie that he has somebody to fuck. And then, like, exactly this happened. And she had no function. It was, like, absolutely ridiculous. But movies like this, where you really think, like, why somebody financed that movie? Like, what were they thinking? I mean, to create a new James Bond in a hacker movie where it's all about, like, credit card fraud, basically. I mean, now, yeah. Okay, that was enough, enough bashing.
That's good. I like the fact you watch a lot of TV as well, so I'm just going to ask you about a couple of TV shows and then we're going to wrap up. We're massive fans here of the series Hannibal. What do you think of that as a series?
I think it was very interesting because it was a network series in US. They're normally not so hard. And for this, I think they went far. And Mads Mikkelsen is one of my favorite actors. I mean, he's just amazing. I loved The Hunt.
Yeah.
And of course, Valhalla Rising. I still want to make a Viking movie in that, not exactly like this, but in that rough style, what Valhalla Rising was. I mean, I don't have to make a movie where nobody talks, but that was an amazing movie. But there's another thing, like Nicholas Winding Refn, right? Drive was absolute, and I love Drive. I love Valhalla Rising. And then he did that unbelievable shitty movie in Thailand.
Oh, God forgives.
Yeah, oh my fucking God, I cannot believe it. I went in the movie theater to watch it, and I was so disappointed, and I was sitting there like, is that guy out of his mind? Now he just got some money to make something, and Ryan Gosling had to do it because he built his career with Drive, but why nobody on set said, no? Like, because they had it all. They had good actors, they had a good setup. They could have made a great movie. That movie could be really good, you know? And then it was a total boring. Nobody gave a shit about anybody in that movie. And it was bloody, but then they were all singing karaoke the whole time. And it was just like ridiculous. Absolutely shit.
Do you think God has forgiven him for making it?
No. Actually, no. Okay, but Hannibal I liked it.
Yeah, it's a great show. And so just to wrap up now, we know that you're gearing up for Rampage 3. Are there any other projects that you have on the horizon?
Yeah, I have that. I have 12 Hours is an action movie, what I want to do, but I need the right actor to do it, where a guy is basically, you think he's a professional killer, he has to kill 7 people in one night, but during the night we find out that it's he's in a blackmailing situation, and it turns from like taken in really hard and bitter. Yes, he killed his own father and so on. And I loved that. I had the idea. I wrote it down, and I had a German writer, Arndt Remmers. He wrote the script, and I think it really delivers what I wanted. Like something where you don't know in what direction it turns, and that it's actually merciless. Because I hate stuff like, you know, Taken 1 was good, the rest was crap, because all the other Takens were just shit. Because you also know how it ends, and it's like, I hate that. I like it if it's really like totally open in what direction it turns. And I don't like good endings, so I don't like happy endings. So 12 Hours, I want to do then that Viking movie what I wrote, and then Rampage 3, of course, too.
What about the work of, we're kind of undecided in this podcast if we like his work. I love him, others don't. What about Kevin Smith films?
It's a mix with him.
Yeah.
I think he did some good stuff. He did some really cheesy and also not funny stuff, you know. But he is his own, like, you know, he's a true independent person. He wants to work with the studios, and the studios doesn't work with him, then he has a chance here and there. But I cannot really say I totally like him or I dislike him.
Don't watch his latest film called Tusk. It's not good.
No, I don't. I missed it already. So
yeah, it's good work.
We'll skip it.
What about John Carpenter?
Yeah, I mean, of course, in my he was the number one horror director. Where I grew up, and I watched in the movie theaters from Halloween to The Thing, Assault. Almost everything. Vampires and so on from him in the movie theaters. But it's typical that he and guys like Joe Dante and other people like this were dropped from Hollywood at one point. You know, they were really in the system. I was never really in the system. I raised my own money, I made the movies, and then I had some Hollywood partners to distribute the movies, but I never had Hollywood representing me. I never had an agent or a manager or something like this, but they were Hollywood directors, studio directors, and they made classics, and then you get, like, banned. Like, no, he's too old, we don't want to work with him anymore, you know? I was so happy to see David Cronenberg's, the Hollywood movie he did, Stars to Hollywood, or Maps to Hollywood, the last one. That was really good. I love that movie. And I still hope that John Carpenter also comes up with something new.
If there's one film in the whole world that you could remake, what would it be?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of remakes. That is the thing, you know. It's not like that I'm eager. Because, look, if you have a great movie, why you should remake it? You know, it was so absurd that they did Ben Hur again as a TV movie, and it was, of course, an absolutely disaster. Why you want to remake something what is exceptional good? And why you want to remake something what is shit? You know, let's say you have a great idea, but you have a really shitty movie, and then you say, let's do it again in good. I'm not really in the remake world. I did a remake with Suddenly, with Dominic Purcell and Ray Liotta. I got hired to do it, basically. That was a movie with Sterling Hayden and Frank Sinatra, where they want to assassinate the president. And I did Suddenly with Ray Liotta and Dominic Purcell 2 years ago. We changed a lot. Like, in the real thing, the president comes through the town only per railway. And then the railway actually doesn't stop in the real movie. And Sinatra is the killer and gets killed by Sterling Hayden. And I found that totally absurd. You know, that is actually funny, but not creepy. So we made, of course, the president this time coming for a hunting trip and with the car and stepping out to talk. So we have a real assassination possibility here, at least. I think in a way we made that remake better, but I was not eager to make So, for me, no remakes, please.
Uwe, are you familiar with a film called The Room?
The Room? No, what is this?
It's a film starring Tommy Wiseau. It was an independently produced film, and it's a bit of a cult hit. I think you should definitely check it out, because we're trying to get a sequel off the ground. We were hoping to see if you'd be interested in helping us out with it.
Yeah, email me the link. Let me see it.
Yeah.
You know, that I can have a little view about it, and then we can talk.
Well, that brings us to the end of the interview, Uwe. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
No problem.
Well, guys, I'm not going to... That was a fascinating interview.
Yeah.
I was really, really blown away by some of his answers, and I think he's completely not portrayed as the guy he is in the media at all. I was absolutely loving that interview.
I agree with almost everything he said. His opinions on movies and actors, directors, I couldn't really fault it. And politics as well, politically. I agree with pretty much everything he said out there.
Yeah, it was interesting, like Mark said, to hear him, because the media have kind of portrayed him in a certain light, mm-hmm, as this rampaging loon, but he's nothing like that.
No. You know, very well thought out opinions, and he clearly cares deeply about Hollywood and about filmmaking in general.
Yeah, I mean, when he talks about independent film, mm-hmm, and how it's dying at the hands of the blockbuster, and as film fans ourselves, we can all recognise that, and it's sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he had a tick list, so he was like, how am I going to please Adam? I hate the Matrix Revolutions. Bang, one over. How am I going to like Ben? Oh, what should I put here? Anne Hathaway, a hater, yeah, one of the worst actors ever.
Oh, he's my favourite director, yeah, now he said that.
And then, you know, who else is a great filmmaker and one of the best out there at horror? John Carpenter. I love him.
Yeah. I was really chuffed that we got to speak to Uwe. So, you know, thanks a lot to him for being willing to speak to us.
If you don't know, we also do our own podcast. This isn't just a special. We do a fortnightly movie review. We talk about old films. We do competitions. So please check us out on skiptheend.co.uk, iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher. We're everywhere. And yeah.
Yeah, we're everywhere. And one of the things that we've been talking about on recent episodes is the film The Room, and we're trying to get a sequel off the ground. So I'm quite happy there that Uwe might be interested in helping us out with that a little bit.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks everyone.